Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John, chapter 18, verses 28 to 40. Glory to you, O Lord. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanliness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews, gathered there, and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to God. Right.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John, chapter 19, verses 1 to 16. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him once again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him in the face. Once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus, but Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. But the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat him down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. So as we remain standing, a prayer. Heavenly Father, may my spoken words be faithful to your written word and lead us to the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So we've just heard Karen and Angie reading the gospel for us. They each began with, "Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Gospel, as we may remember, means good news. So hear the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet this good news that we've just heard is a story of betrayal, perjury, injustice, corruption, suffering, and murder. This good news comes at a terrible cost. After his arrest in Gethsemane, Jesus has been taken to Annas and Caiaphas. Annas was made the Jewish high priest in 7 AD, but it seems that the Romans found him a little hard to control, so they deposed him in 14 AD. But then for the next several decades, Annas was still influential enough to get the Romans to appoint as high priest 5 of his 6 sons, as well as his son-in-law, Caiaphas. Caiaphas was the official high priest from 18 AD to 36 AD. But the one pulling the strings apparently remained Annas, whom the Jews considered the real high priest because Judaism appoints a high priest for life. So they have now brought Jesus to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, whom they need in order for Jesus to be legally executed. Pontius Pilate was the governor of the Roman province of Judea for 10 years from 26-ish AD to 36-ish AD. Now we know very little about him before or after his starring role in this most important event in history. The post of governor of Judea was of relatively low prestige, but as Roman governor, he was head of the judicial system. As governor, Pilate had the right to appoint the Jewish high priest, and he retained Caiaphas for his entire 10 years as governor, which seems to indicate that Pilate trusted Caiaphas to control his people. So they bring Jesus to Pilate, but they won't go into Pilate's residence because Jewish law says that contact with a Gentile would make them unclean. Their hypocrisy is staggering. They won't enter a Gentile home, but they are prepared to orchestrate the killing of an innocent man. Now, Pilate's palace was originally built by Herod the Great in the decades before Jesus' birth. But now the palace was used by the Roman governor as his residence when he left Caesarea to spend time in Jerusalem. It probably would have been this palace that the Magi had come to some 30 years ago when seeking the one born king of the Jews. Then the king of the Jews had fled to Egypt to escape death. Now the king comes willingly. The Jews won't go in, so Pilate has to come out to find out what they want. And Pilate knows he has to walk a very fine line. Success, for a Roman governor as far as Rome was concerned, was keeping everything under control so that the wealth of the empire continued to flow back to Rome. This meant just the right amount of carrot and stick. Not so much carrot that the people lost their fear of Rome, and not so much stick that it drove them to rebellion, because rebellions were costly. Now, big festivals in Jerusalem were always potential flashpoints. Pilate would be expecting trouble, and at Passover, Jerusalem was overflowing with pilgrims and reinforced with Roman soldiers to deal with them just in case. Jesus is taken into the palace. His accusers wait outside, where Pilate comes to meet them. "Why on earth are you bringing this man to me? Try him under your own law." But the Jewish courts aren't allowed to execute people. And they don't want Jesus merely punished. They want him dead. And the only way they can get that done legally is to get the Romans to execute him. Perhaps you can imagine Pilate's frustration. Here he is, the most important man in Jerusalem, the representative of the Roman Empire, Caesar's representative, having to go between these demanding conquered subjects and their ragged victim. So Pilate went to speak to Jesus. He asks him plainly, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Pilate must know for a fact that Jesus isn't. Because in the Roman Empire, you didn't get to be a king of anywhere except by the support of Rome or by force. And he knows that Rome hasn't appointed him. So if this Jesus is claiming to be a king of the Jews, then it is without the support of Rome and therefore rebellion. And the Romans deal with rebels one way. They crucify them. Jesus admits to Pilate that he has a kingdom, but it is a kingdom totally alien to anything Pilate has experienced. Pilate would only have known kingdoms that were founded and preserved through force and intrigue and violence. Jesus' power and authority are not from the world, but from God. Jesus' kingdom is not from the world, but it is for the world. Pilate seems to be getting more confused. Is Jesus getting inside Pilate's head? Is Pilate's question, "What is truth?" the cynical response of a world-weary politician used to spin and fake news? Or is Jesus causing him to question all that he has believed to be true to this point? Whatever it is, Pilate begins to fight Jesus' corner. "Jesus is innocent," he tells the gathered Jews. "Let me set this prisoner free, according to your custom at Passover." "No," they shout. "Give us Barabbas." Barabbas, the rebel, a resistance fighter, had presumably been captured during one of the many minor local uprisings that plagued the Romans. Barabbas, the guilty rebel, is set free because Jesus, the innocent peacemaker, takes his place. The release of Barabbas is a foretaste of what is to come. Guilty, rebellious humanity goes free because the innocent, divine Jesus takes our place. At this point, Pilate is still hopeful that he can get Jesus off. Maybe if he has Jesus flogged, maybe that will be enough. So Pilate hands Jesus to the Roman soldiers to be flogged. The flogging would have been brutal and merciless. The soldiers taunted him, beat him, and flogged him. And the Roman soldiers were good at their job. Maybe this will be enough to satisfy the Jewish leaders, Pilate thinks. 3 times Pilate goes to them and says, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." I don't know if it's significant, but it seems interesting that after Jesus' close friend Peter denies him 3 times, Pilate, supposedly Jesus' enemy, defends him 3 times. In fact, due to the Gospel's portrayal of Pilate as reluctant to execute Jesus, The Ethiopian and Coptic churches believe that Pilate became a Christian, and they venerate him as a martyr and a saint. But the Jewish leaders will not listen to Pilate. "Crucify," they cry. "He must die because he claimed to be the Son of God." At this point, John tells us that Pilate becomes afraid, and he goes in to Jesus once more. "Speak to me, Jesus. Let me help you. Don't you realize that I have the power to free you or crucify you?" Jesus puts him straight. "It's not you who are in control here. This is bigger than you. God is in control of this situation. Jesus knows exactly what's happening, as we've seen in previous weeks. Jesus is going willingly into all of this. Jesus knows what is in store for him. And yet, he still goes. Pilate still tries to free Jesus, but the Jewish leaders play their trump card. "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar." They have Pilate over a barrel. And from that point, Jesus' fate is finally sealed. Pilate cannot appear to take sides against Caesar. So Jesus is brought out to the open area before the people, bloodied, beaten, and bound. Pilate sits down in the judgment seat. But before he pronounces his final judgment, he gives the chief priests one more chance to have mercy. "Shall I crucify your king?" he asks. And then the chief priests demonstrate how far from God they have fallen, how utterly they have rejected God. Denying Jesus as their king, denying even God as their king, they answer, "We have no king but Caesar." So finally, Pilate hands Jesus over to them to be crucified. On the face of it, this is a story of betrayal, rejection, humiliation, perjury, injustice, jealousy, corruption, suffering, and murder. On the face of it, this is a story of failure. But behind it, beneath it, and over it all, stands God. This is a story of sacrifice, obedience, faithfulness, endurance, forgiveness, courage, and victory. This, brothers and sisters, is a love story. Amen.